Thanks for joining me. I'm Scott Linden. This is the Upland Nation Podcast. Hope you're having a great day, night, middle of the night, morning. Whenever you're listening, I sure appreciate it. And hope it's worth your while. And we'll do my best to make it so. Great podcast in store for you today. We're going to talk about why you admire your dog. Some great callers, some great comments, written comments, a little bit of everything. So stand by for, well, I guess I'll call it all things dogs and all things we love about them. But of course, there's all sorts of other things happening. Public access tip, some hunting strategy and dog handling advice. Little adventure, some tips and tactics, all from the Cabela's podcast studio. So stick around and let's get this party started. I'm already looking ahead to the new season. At lunch today, I ran Flick out behind the place. We live right next to some public ground, so we're pretty lucky in that regard. I don't care what they say about social distancing and all of that. We are going to take advantage of the great outdoors every day. Hope you are as well. He pointed two different valley quail, both singles. I think it's that time of year. They're breaking up a little bit, pairing up a little bit. So we got one of them still on the nest and then probably another one still on the nest while the others were out feeding, I guess. If you know more about that kind of stuff, I'd love to be corrected if I'm not guessing right. He was pretty steady, which I'll take at this point in time. By the end of the summer and the early part of the fall, I hope he is a lot more steady. That's my goal for this summer. And with luck, me and my training team will see him through to that finished level. It reminds me of one of the attributes I just love about my dog. One of the things I admire, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, let's just all remember, yes, remember, we will be hunting this fall to get ready for all of that. This podcast is devoted to you and your dog and getting ready. Got some new articles at the Find Bird Hunting Spots website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. For peak performance in your bird dog, get him a better bed. Also talk about a bizarre hunt among the forest fires in Montana. And finally, why horseback hunting will change your life. If you want to learn more about all of those and find some great places to put on your list for this fall, go to findbirdhuntingspots.com. And this portion of the podcast, say that three times fast, portion of the podcast is brought to you by Sage and Breaker Mercantile, gun care products crafted at the highest caliber. Sign up for the mailing list, and then you will find out when the pick and brush kits are ready for delivery. They had sold out, you know, so many other things sold out, but they are getting caught up in their inventory, and pick and brush kits are the next item on the list. So check in, look for the pre-sale to hit the website shortly at sageandbreaker.com. Speaking of websites, go to dogtra.com and learn more about the T&B dual billboard. Yeah, it's T&B dual collar. This is the billboard. That's what we call it in broadcasting, at least. Anyway, T&B dual tone and beep. I finally figured that out. You can do either one, and then, of course, you can vibrate, and you can use the stimulation as well. Learn more about that at dogtra.com. Before we get to the phones, and we're just about there, a couple of Facebook posts when I asked everybody what they admire most about their dog. You know, there's a trend, and you'll see it by the end of the podcast. Starts with Mark Reeves. My short hair just won't stop. Ever. Well, I know what you mean, Mark. In fact, what I was alluding to a minute ago is what I'll talk about now. I'm going to kind of brag on Flicker for just a second. He's not 3 years old yet and kind of a soft dog, so I've been, treading lightly when I train, using the vibrate feature more than the shock feature on his Dogtra T&B dual. But he is coming right along, and it's, the thing that I admire about him most is his earnestness, his... we used to call dogs honest, and I think in the field trial world, there are still some honest dogs out there, however you define that. I look at it this way. They're not trying to fool you. They're not trying to trick you into thinking they're doing something when they're doing something else. It comes to the fore when a dog points and you're not visible and he stays on point instead of, for example, creeping in, or same with a back or an honor. And those are the kind of things that I love most about Flick at this point in time. He's still a young guy, and maybe he'll grow out of that earnestness, but I sure as heck hope not. Now let's go to the phones. So we're talking about what we admire most about our dogs, and on the line with me now, James, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Know it well. Probably not during the... You guys had some bad weather a while back, didn't you?
Just recently, yeah. But we didn't get hit too bad.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, so before we start admiring our dogs, what kind do you have?
I have an English Springer Spaniel.
Yeah, and how old, by the way?
She's almost not. She'll be nine soon. I got her out of Sunrise Kennels in New York.
Great, great. And, well, I'm talking about my young dog a lot on this show, and it sounds like you're at the other end of the spectrum there. How's your dog doing these days?
He's doing great. We didn't get to hunt as much as I would have liked this year. I missed most of woodcock and most of duck season because I had a thumb injury. So we only went a few times, so I think she was a little disappointed, but she's doing great.
Well, good for you. All right, so when I asked a question, the variety of answers to what people admire about their dogs was, it was all over the board, but there will be a trend, right. I promise. But in your case, with your Springer, what is it most about your dog that you admire?
Well, I think what I really like about her is her drive, and then just her kind of total love and devotion to me. You know, and that kind of ties into her willingness to do whatever has to be done. I mean, if it's a long retrieve on a pond or jumping into a frozen, creek or diving into, like some hedgerows or thorns or whatever, I'm just amazed that and her willingness to do that.
You know, it's funny, this is kind of what it's all about today. And I keep wondering, I'll look at somebody when we're out on a hunt or even in a training situation. I'll say, why the heck would a dog do that for me? What did I do to deserve this?
To deserve that, yes. Yeah.
I mean, do you have any theories?
I don't, but, one thing that, you see a lot where there's still the debate of whether a dog should live outside or inside. And I feel like in the Springer Spaniels, I've run Springers for 35, 40 years. And I think that closeness that they bond with you in the house, like they just want to please you.
I have no doubt about that. We don't even have that debate anymore after five wire hairs. They all live in the house. And if only I could teach them to help out a little bit once in a while, it would work. So, if you had to suggest to somebody who's new to the game of dog owning and bird hunting, how would you suggest that they get to that point with their new dog?
Well, I think a lot of bonding, a lot of training, I think that really, really helps build it up. I mean, that's one of the things I did with her. When I got her from the kennel, she was a year and a half. And she was very aloof. But I just spent a lot of time with her, a lot of training, a lot of attention, and she turned the corner and she's been great ever since.
There's a lesson in that. I was just talking with somebody earlier today about getting a puppy at 12 weeks instead of what everybody else gets them at 7 or 8 weeks.
Right.
And they were a little concerned. And I thought, based on what I know, 10 weeks is probably good. 11, 12 weeks, probably not so bad, but a year and a half. Wow. There's hope for all of us then, isn't there?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I've gotten into the habit. My schedule didn't really allow me to have a puppy anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten in the habit of buying a little bit older dogs that are more trained. The reason, and mainly because I didn't have time to train a puppy. I think just putting the time into your dog really helps. And I think like with Springers, they want to please.
No doubt about it. But so do wire hairs.
I'm sure every dog.
Every dog probably, now that you mention it, you're absolutely right.
I think the great thing for me is I know you didn't ask me this question, but in North Carolina, there's not a lot of Springer people. I'm from New Jersey originally, and I grew up with them. And So I always love taking people out who've never really hunted with a Springer or a flushing dog. And, they're always surprised at the drive and the energy and how hard they hunt for you.
Yeah, I love it, and it's so true. And Springers are that way. Cockers, I've been hunting a lot with cockers in the last 2 or 3 seasons, and then even some of those less common. Somebody brought up the fact that a couple of years ago I hunted with a Boykin Spaniel out there in Oklahoma, and
Very popular in the South, yeah.
oh, you aren't they like the state dog of South Carolina, I
South
think.
Carolina,
Yeah.
yes.
This whole spaniel race, if you want to call it that, they just seem to have way more joie de vivre
Especially
than other
the
dogs.
cockers and yeah. The Springers, I think too, I would like to see them get mentioned more with versatile breeds. I think, my dog has hunted rabbits, woodcock, grouse, pheasant, quail, ducks. I don't know why they're not in that conversation more.
Yeah, if you want a dog that can do everything, well, except point, then you got one right there. So, more power to you. And
And I go ahead, sorry.
you after you.
Well, I was going to say, I have a friend, Dylan Blake Holiday, who trains dog springers and runs springers and trials, and he's one of the few people I know in North Carolina, and his dog is outstanding in all those areas.
I even hunted with a it was a half Springer, half Labrador. So it was Springer size, but it looked like a yellow Labrador. And Missy was an inspiration to me every time I hunted with her. She was owned by a good buddy of mine, and she was Springer in everything except looks. And you talk about going into a thicket or something like that, I'll never forget her going into a blackberry thicket that must have been 50 feet across and 20 feet tall. The birds came out, we each shot a bird or two, and then she came out, and both ears were bleeding to beat the band. I mean, but didn't bother her one bit. This is the kind of dog that those spaniels become.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we could talk stories all day. I had just one where, not where it got she got beat up, but the drive. A quail, we had hit it, and it had wedged itself under a log, and there was no way we could kind of reach it. And the dog spent a good 20 minutes, but she came out with that bird.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, which reminds me, tomorrow I'm going to a spot where my wire hair pulled a rough grouse out from under a log. We're just scouting, but thanks for the reminder. And great to talk with you. James,
You
always,
too.
always a fun time. Thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to more of your columns and your show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, so some great comments on the Facebook page. This one good enough to where I actually went and called Matt. Matt, how are you?
I'm good.
You sound like you might have the same dog breed I do. Tell me why you admire your dog so much.
Well, actually, I do have a black lab. I do not have a wire hair pointer,
Okay. All right.
but I grew up with wire hair pointers. Let's put it that way.
Oh, so they're just living the legacy anyhow.
No, he's 11 month old black lab, and he's been giving me a run for my money.
Is it the Labradorness or the 11-month oldness?
I think it's the Labrador because my last lab was the perfect child. You know how they always say your first child's the best one and the second one's going to be the screamer and the crier? Well, this one, he's the chewer, and everything.
Yeah, you said he won't leave the cats alone. Well, that he'll never grow out of that. At least not at our
Oh,
house, they don't.
I hope so. See, that was the other thing. Our other dog would lay down in the sun and the cats would curl up next to
We hoped for that. It never quite worked out that way. And I saw a picture today somewhere of a cat and a dog nose to nose sleeping, and I thought, wow, what did those humans have to do to pull that off? I don't think there's enough pharmaceuticals in the world to get my dog to lay down with one of the cats here. Oh well. So what are you doing about your young lab? Are you, I mean, to settle him at all? I mean, is there anything that you're doing that might work actually?
We're just staying on top of him. As I talk to you right now, he's chewing a plastic planner bowl. You know, when the cat comes out, and that's the thing, is the cat comes out and antagonizes them, and it's like, really? Can't you just stay in the other part of the house? But, you know, when he goes up and charges them, we try to pull him back and put him in the down and, you know, tell him to leave it and all that stuff. But he's pretty hard-headed.
Well, he must have some redeeming factors, or you wouldn't have kept him.
You know what? At the beginning of the year, we've talked about, you know, I thought he was not going to be able to hunt or anything. And then you just said, patience, he'll come around. And I wish we had about another month of hunting this year, because he was really starting to get the hang of it and, you know, pointing out birds and, you know, getting them and bringing them back and everything. And now I have to wait the 8 months to go back.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had that revelation myself today. You know, I think dogs, they can handle that break to a great degree. I haven't been working much on steadiness with Flick, because I knew once I got some more pigeons hatched and the weather was better and I could put them out and do that sort of thing, we could start over again, if you will, or at least take a few steps back. But as of today, I'm thinking he kind of sort of remembered almost everything from last season. So there is hope out there. So keep your fingers crossed. Yeah.
I do notice that he does put his nose down to the ground a lot more. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, I think a lot of this before, he was always going relying on sight. Uh-huh. But now he's doing a lot more using his nose and everything. And even to track the cat around the house, you know, he'll and stuff. So, but he, I think he's going to turn out to be a good dog and stuff. And, you know, hopefully we get to go hunting this year.
Well, yeah, good. Yeah, no, we're keeping it positive here. We are going hunting.
You know, good.
If they send out the Gestapo to stop me from hunting, they better bring more ammo than I have in my vest. That's all
exactly.
I can say.
Exactly.
So, well, good luck. He's still a young dog, and that, you know, the best news is that the best is yet to come with him. And
exactly. And know, I look at it, he'll be about a year and a half when I get him out there this next time. And so,
yeah,
he should be right in his right there.
Yeah, the brain cells will be almost fully developed. Oh wait,
he's a lab. No, yes. You're going too far there.
All right,
I have one quick question for you.
Sure.
When's Flick gonna get his own Facebook page?
Flick's owner has too much to do without yet another Facebook page. But we're working on some ways for him to have a voice on the various social media that we have now. So stand by. I'm not gonna allude to anything, because I'll probably blow it if I do. But
no problem.
Don't worry. Everybody else probably doesn't care near as much as I do about him and his. Yeah, his persona, but he's a great guy, and he is almost ready to learn how to type. So we got to work on the opposable thumb thing, and then he's ready. So,
like I said, my dad had to. He had a German wire hair back in the '68. He bought it the first one, and then in the early '80s he got a Griffon.
Well, it's a wonder that you haven't gone over to the dark side then, but maybe you're smarter than your dad ever was.
Well, no, and then, on top of that, my brothers had two Drothars, and he switched over to the labs because one of our hunting buddies was hunting labs, and everybody out in the field was hunting labs, and he got a lab, and then my son was 6 years old and wanted a lab, so I ended up with a lab.
Yeah, I tell everybody, and we'll close on this, but I think everybody would do well with a Labrador, especially a first bird dog, for example. I know that, you know, whether it is or not for you is immaterial. You live the whole life. But labs are just, they're just so all around good for all around everything. So,
and that's why we have them.
Well, good for you and good luck with him. We'll probably talk between now and when the season opens. So enjoy the youth of your Labrador while you can.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
And boy, oh boy, sounds like our house a couple years ago. We're still regretting some of the things we left laying around, but you know, that's what puppies do. Speaking of puppies and kind of old home week, Seth Roush sends me a note and says, what do I admire most about my dog? The bond. Since the day we pulled up to the breeder's house in Nampa, my German wirehaired pointer has been my sidekick, sometimes too much. He seems to think there's a secret portal in the bathroom, and then I'll sneak out and go for a truck ride without him. You know, Seth, I do know that breeder's house, and I know that driveway, and I know that breed, and I know that strain, and I know that line of dogs, and yeah, I can relate. Okay, so we're back to the phones here because there is so much to talk about and a long line of callers, including Ken. Welcome to the program, Ken.
Thank you very much.
So let's start with the important stuff. What kind of dog?
I have three Springer Spaniels. Currently, one's retired, one trainer, and one trainee.
So let me get this right. So the older one is training the younger one. So you just get to sit on the porch and watch.
Well, yeah, that's a little bit about, you know, at least the Springer Spaniels, in my opinion, is they're fairly easy. They tend to train each other, and they come out of the, I like to think they come out of the box ready to hunt.
Well, I tend to agree. I like the Flushing breeds for all of that. And in your case, it sounds like it's working pretty well. Well, you got three of them. So the question, actually, maybe I should suggest that I multiply it by three. But what do you admire most about your dogs?
Oh, you know, really, if anything, I have to just admire that they take my mistakes and they just go on. They can live with me and my mistakes, and that really makes for a happy hunter.
You know, it is amazing how forgiving dogs can be. And someday, hey, if anybody's listening and they know this joke, please send me a note or call me back about a dog that put up with everything his owner threw at him, except when the guy would miss frequently in the field. And then that dog ended up peeing on his boot. And, you know, in joke form, it works pretty well. So please tell me if you know that one. But your dogs are pretty accommodating.
Yeah, the nice thing is they're really a laid back dog most of the time. They got a little bit of field spaniel in them, but they still have that ability to slow down when I want them to and lay around the house for 8 months out of the year.
Is that, you think that, are they all from the same line? I'm just curious now how you got so lucky.
Well, one of them came from Oregon, and the other two came from a great breeder in Ellensburg, Washington, who she likes to breed a little bit of the fieldie in there. And I've had a full fieldie once before, and that's too much. They like to just run, whereas these guys have the ability to slow down just a bit.
Well, you're a lucky guy for that. And, you know, I like to think sometimes my dog has an off switch, but I just haven't found it yet.
That's because you got a pointer. I got a good buddy that hunts pointers, and I love to hunt with the guy. His dog has just got that run drive, and whereas my dogs just seem to be a little bit more focused.
Okay. Well, you're the lucky one in this regard, and I'm glad you like it. And thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation podcast, Ken. Have a great evening.
I appreciate it. You guys take care, and it's great talking with you.
Oh, I just love this topic because everybody's got a good reason for having their dogs and admiring their dogs. And next on the list, calling in is Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
You know, I think you got multiple dogs, so it's a tough question for you, but maybe they all share the same attributes. What do you admire most about them?
I've had dogs, I've had bird dogs now going on 28 years, and acquired my first Brittany back in 92. And from that point on, every dog that I've had, basically, it's unconditional love. You know, it's really hard to put into words the bond between and not only a bird hunter, but I think it's any type of hunter that uses dogs, whether it be coon, you know, whatever, bear, you know, it's a bond. But I think bird hunters share a special bond with them. And because they're out there, you know, busting their rear end for you. And, you know, you gotta show them the love while they're showing you the love.
You know, you're right. I never thought about the reciprocity aspect of that. I've written on this subject. In fact, it became the part of the foreword of my book, but never in that regard. It is a two-way street, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, I just remember my first Brittany. I mean, he taught me more. He taught me as much or more than I taught him, because I had never bird hunted before, was in a pheasant rich area where we were living at the time. And, you know, basically it comes down, you always trust your bird dog. And, you know, like I said, he taught me as much as I taught him. And I know there were times the first year when I was working on a check cord, you know, his name was Scout. No, Scout, we don't need to go over there. And sure enough, a bird would take off from there. So it was like, okay, you know, you do your thing, I'm following you, I'll learn from you.
Yeah, you know, we've all joked about that for years on another TV series I made. I would open the show with something like, follow the hunter with the longest nose.
Absolutely.
You know, once they're on the ground, there's nobody more expert than that critter with four legs. So
We were out walking the other day with one of my setters, and she locks up. And we had her on the road just walking her on a leash. I said, what in the world? Well, she's pointing a turtle. You know, it's like, good Lord, how in the world do you smell that turtle? Because she didn't see it. She just smelled it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, we had this discussion in South Dakota maybe 5-7 years ago. We were out in the middle of freaking nowhere, and same thing. Dog points a turtle.
Yeah. It's like...
The guy I was with used to be a conservation officer. He said, well, you know, turtles are related to reptiles. Not the same, I understand. Amphibians, reptiles, different. But they're related, and reptiles were the predecessors of birds back in prehistoric times. And so you can understand that.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
It worked for me.
Yeah.
The big question I had, and maybe you too, where the heck was that turtle going? I was in the middle of the prairie in South Dakota.
It had a mission. Most of the time, that's what, you know, when I see them crossing the road here, I'll stop and pick them up. And they always say you put them on the side of the road the direction they were going. So
what a great idea, and more power to you. That's just wonderful. I think they're going from one piece of water to another during mating season, I think, is what he said.
It's probably makes sense. Makes plenty of sense.
Well, if you had to, you know, kind of differentiate between dogs, you have a lot. So maybe just between one and another, do they have different traits? Do they have different attributes that might make one stand out for this and another stand out for that?
They do. You know, I've had in my lifetime, I've had four Brittanies, I've had a French Pointer, and now the two setters, and every one of them was special in one way or another. For instance, my first Brittany, the dog wouldn't point a grouse to save his life, but I tell you what, that dog was brutal on pheasants. And then the next female I got, she was great on grouse. It's like, you know, it's every one of them has different attributes. You know, the ones I got right now, one of them, she's a little more loving than the other, you know, a little more settled down, and she likes getting up on your lap at night. And I mean, they're, like I said, but they're all, in my eyes, they're all special.
Yeah. And, yeah. I remember the dilemma when, you know, at times I've been lucky enough to have two wire hairs at the same point, you know, different ages, of course.
Oh yeah.
And I kept hoping and hoping that they would be both really good at whatever it was I was working on. And they eventually did both become that several times over, but they're never alike. They're always different. No. And that is one of the bigger things I think we as dog owners probably have to work on.
Absolutely. You gotta love them for what they're capable of. And then, you know, and occasionally you got one, you know, I had one that just wasn't, it was an average, mm-hmm. you know, but not a superb nose. But he was average, but I tell you what, he was a great dog around the house, you know, and just as gentle as all get out. He was a big Brittany, and he developed epilepsy later in life, and that's what actually ultimately ended his life. But wow. But I mean, he was a gentle giant. He was a big Brit, but he was a great dog. But he had his times, but he wasn't by no means the best I ever had.
Well, they all have something going for them, and maybe that's our job as humans, is to find that, whatever it is, and cultivate it if we can. I'm Scott Linden. You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. Jeremy, a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And Mike Siebert writes on the Facebook page, I admire the nearly unbelievable nose when birds are near. I think my dog can smell an individual feather on a single bird. That and the pure joy of the hunting machine that clicks on with close bird scent. The mouth closes, the nose goes hyper, the tail goes high and fast. Ooh, just the best. Those are his words, and I think they're probably your words as well. So, just think about that the next time you're working with your dog, or the next time you want to work with your dog. Lots of things to look forward to as we get ready for this fall. And we will be going hunting this fall.
All right.
So what are you admiring about your own dog while we're prompting all of these thoughts? Maybe Linda, our next caller, will be able to help us. Linda, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. What do you admire about your dog?
I admire his heart, his willingness to please me. He never fails me. No matter what he does, he's always working for me and wanting to please me. He makes my heart so happy.
It sounds like a first dog, but I bet it's not. I mean, we're all dazzled by that. Have you had more dogs?
I've had several dogs, never a hunting dog. I work for a veterinarian, so it's kind of, that's what I do. But he is my first hunting dog, and I fell in love with it. I didn't think I would, and I just fell in love with it. So we have three Brittanys now.
Wow. Okay, so you've fallen for it then. You drank the Kool-Aid.
Big time. It is my passion.
I love it. So did you become a hunter and then get a dog, or did the dog turn you into a hunter?
Well, my boyfriend actually was a hunter, and he's had Brittanys, and he was retiring, and got one Brittany, then got one 6 months later, and then one 6 months later, then had to have back surgery. And wasn't able to train these dogs or work these dogs. So I got with NAVDA, and that's where I've learned everything pretty much. And it was kind of thrown at me, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's got me.
Well, that is a relatively unique origin story. We all have one, and yours is even crazier than mine was. But
really?
But that's spectacular. And are they different? Does each of these dogs have a different personality?
Oh, definitely. There's the, Brittany's can be a handful, and the male I have at my house, he's mellow and just, he hunts for me, and he really just wants to please me. The two females that are at my boyfriend's, one is pretty calm, and she wants to learn. The other one, the middle child, is just a wild girl. I mean, that girl, she'll run, she'll be gone for miles, and, you can't catch her. She's a live wire. But all three of them are great dogs, and I love working with all three of them. My favorite is the male, but we have a special bond.
I love it. You're out there in the desert. This time of year, it's starting to get a little warm. Are you adjusting in the time of day when you're working dogs, that sort of thing? Are you at that point yet?
Yes, definitely. I go out in the morning at sunup or right before sunup. I'm trying to stay away from places nesting season and everything going on. So I'll have some birds some in the freezer, and I'll take them out, and I'll do some drags, and we get it done early, and try and be home, you know, by 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
But it's still pretty cool here right now. Our elevation is about 3,500 feet, so it's not too bad.
Well, it could be a lot worse, that's for sure. And it will be soon enough down there.
Oh, I know.
Well, good on you. Glad to have you a part of the world that we love so much, and glad your dogs are with their heart are touching your heart.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate, you know, you picking me to do this, and it's such an honor, believe me.
Well, don't flatter myself, as they say. But you're very welcome, and thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation, Linda.
All right, thank you so much.
So what do you admire about your dog? Our next caller might have an answer that fits the trend, or maybe bucks the trend. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Well, when we have neighbors behind us, and she's been my best hunting partner. It's Wilma. I've had Springers my whole life, but she's absolutely the best one. Just outstanding. Anyway, we had little kids behind us, and they used to come over and ask if my dog can come out and play. Sure. And so, I mean, the kids still do. I have another one behind Wilma, but they come over and ask my dogs to come play, and I let them go play.
I love it.
But the thing that was interesting is that the kids were from Bulgaria. And when I would come in the house and she didn't want to come in, she would just stay over there. And they speak Bulgarian and they speak English. Well, I said she's smarter than I am because she listens to command in Bulgarian as well as English. And I don't speak a lick of Bulgarian. So literally she'll be over there. She'll play with them, and I hear the dad will come out and the boy will be talking to her in Bulgarian. There she understands. She sits, and I don't know how to say sit in Bulgarian. I don't know how to say anything in Bulgarian. But it was just so cute because the boy also was a big soccer player. And when he was little, he's like 13 now, but when he was like 7, just learning to dribble the ball around, there weren't a lot of kids to play with around here. So my dog would go over there and be the defender and try to take the ball from him. And he really has developed into quite a soccer player. So she not only speaks Bulgarian, she plays soccer better than I ever did my whole life. So.
Well, that, you know, what's scary about that is we joke about our dogs being smarter than us. You're telling us it's true.
Oh, in this case, it's absolutely true. Another, and you know, as far as the hunting part goes of it, she knows when it's time to stop and she knows when it's time to go. I mean, she'll go right to the spots that we found birds, and there's been a couple of times where I shot and I thought I missed, you know, and bird was flying and she took off. And I mean, out of sight, over the hill and off the reservation, everything else. And I stood there and I waited because I knew she'd come back. Here she comes back a couple, 3-4 minutes later, she got the bird in her mouth. She chased it all the way, the way down. And she had, when it set down, she brought him back to me. So,
well,
she's done that a couple of times. So, yeah, she's just outstanding. I've had Springers my whole life, but Wilma's the best dog I've ever had. So,
and where'd she come up with a name like that?
Well, my first Springer was, I was 15. I had Elkie. And then after Elkie, Blanche, because Blanche, I was tickled with Blanche from the Golden Girls. Uh-huh. And then Stella was the next one. And then Stella was again, Stella, you know, like Marlon Brando screaming at his dog coming back. And after that, I had Madge, and I still got Madge. But then Wilma came, because I was going to name her Betty, because Betty White. but a neighbor had, I told my neighbor I was going to name my dog that. He named his dog that. So then next one after Betty would then be Wilma. And then I got a pup now. Her name is Rosie. I wanted to name her Darla, but my wife finally put her foot down and said, no, Rosie's it. So
I love it. Oh, I thought you were going to say Wilma Flintstone for a minute there.
Yeah, yeah, that's a Flintstone, sure. Betty, okay, but good. Betty White, you know, I had to go Wilma.
Yeah,
because I mean, that's it. What I thought of. But,
well,
yeah.
You know, it's just there's a note coming up, same thing. In fact, Lance Larson sends a note and says he can stake his dogs out at a field trial or at training, and folks can walk up to his dog with no issues. It sounds like your dog is even beyond all that. She's got the master's degree in getting along with other people.
Well, she does. She doesn't like other dogs too well. But I mean, that's just as it. But yeah, she loves the little kids and the people, and she goes to greet them. And yeah, that's why Springers are like that. They're just so loving and enthusiastic. And yeah, and they're not overly large, and they can handle themselves if they get in sticky situations. Another thing, Wilma ran into a coyote a few years ago, and she came back. I mean, I don't know how it ended up where she – well, she's a 40-pound dog as big as that, but she came back and she's kind of bloody. So that was the scariest moment. And I almost lost her again 2 years ago. She had some infection, and she came back. And, no, we're just thrilled with her. The absolute best dog I've ever had. And I love dogs anyway, and especially Springer Spaniels, and I've loved all my dogs, but there's nothing like Wilma.
All right. I love it. What great stories, you know, not nine lives like a cat, but she lived to tell about it more than once. And that, you know, for some reason, okay, don't everybody panic, but we've had several Springer Spaniel stories today already. And we will get to some other breeds, I promise you. But, you know, when you ask somebody what they admire, maybe Springer Spaniel owners just admire their dogs a little bit more than some of you. No. Just joking. Got a long line of callers, and they've all got other breeds, I'll bet. We'll find out soon on the Upland Nation podcast. Thanks for being a part of it, Jim.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
And Ludell writes that her bell is tenacity. Personified or dogified, I guess, would be appropriate. She's been hard-headed since day one, but over the course of 11 seasons, she's probably only lost half a dozen down birds, and we hunt every weekend and limit out by the end of every year. Well, I'm quite jealous, Ludell. Maybe you'll have to invite me down there, wherever that is. We got lots more callers and lots more comments about admiring our dogs here at the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Just love talking dogs and helping everybody, including me. This is therapy for me as well, to get ready for the upcoming hunting season. We'll throw the masks down. We'll social distance in the field. And we've got lots more to cover, but hold on for just a moment here. I'll get to a dog training and dog care question, and we'll have that Handle It segment coming right up after a couple of short messages. The first one from my good friends at Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food. Learn more about them at drtims.com. The first thing you want to make note of is this code, Upland Nation. All one word, Upland Nation. Use that code at checkout and get 30% off your first order. Believe me, even at full retail, it is worth the price. But at 30% off, you're crazy not to try this great dog food. And he's got a variety of formulations depending on what you're looking for, but they all have the antioxidants that are so important to reduce stress on your dog's cells. That's right, from exercise, from the stuff that we inhale, from all of those things are oxidants. You need antioxidants in the diet to counteract them. Things like selenium, vitamin C, vitamin E, astaxanthin, I think I got it right, and others. So take a look at drtims.com. And, you know, my friends at ESPAmerica.com have been reminding me for years that I caught it soon enough. Yeah, there's a little ringing in my ears at night when I'm tired and I'm reading all your Facebook comments. That ringing is not getting any worse, and that's because I am using my ESP hearing protection devices all the time, in the field, on the range. And sometimes I leave them in when my wife is talking too much, but don't tell her that, okay? Learn more about all the choices and remember that hearing loss is cumulative and permanent. Find out more about all of that and why I choose electronic shooters protection at their website, espamerica.com. And here it is, you know, one of the many things that I have learned the hard way, so you don't have to, in our Handle It segment from the Cabela's Podcast Studio. And maybe you've learned this as well. If you haven't, you will, I can almost guarantee you, if you are using dog boots. And many of us do for various things. Out in the West here, we're hunting a lot on lava and rocks made out of lava, which is just smaller pieces of volcano that are all over the place, especially in Chukar and Valley Quail country. I got tired of losing those boots, you know, and if you've bought a few, you know how expensive they can be. So started messing around with all sorts of other stuff, and there's all sorts of solutions, including, you know, the motorcycle inner tubes and that sort of thing. I finally got down to the, you know, the one that works best for me, and maybe it is worth taking a look at for you, and I'm bringing it up now because you might want to get your dog used to it well before hunting season. You probably have it laying around. Duct tape. Now, if you want to learn more about how to put it on, go to my website, findbirdhuntingspots.com, and you'll find an entire article on using duct tape as a dog boot. You just simply wrap it Roman sandal style from the bottom of your dog's foot all the way up above that pad. I think they call it the carpal pad. Use that as the kind of the anchor. And, you know, wrap it very loosely. The last thing you want to do is cut off circulation. Don't ask why I know that so well. But try a little duct tape. A whole roll will serve you well for season after season. You won't be mad when your dog comes back with two boots instead of three or four boots. And when you do lose them, they're cheap. Like I said, learn more at findbirdhuntingspots.com about what I consider to be an alternative to the expensive dog boots that so many people like. Good luck. Be safe out there. Now let's get back to the phones. So once again, just if you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about what we admire most about our dogs, and I could go on and on about my young Flick, but I doubt if he could go on about me the same way. But maybe Mark, on the other end of this telephone call, can tell us a little bit about why he admires his dog. Mark, welcome.
Welcome. Yes.
That's my line, by the way.
Oh, okay. Never done this.
Hey, you're doing great so far. So what do you admire most about your dog?
Well, I mean, they keep me young. Once you get to be a little up in age, I like a walking, you know, foot dog. And it just gets me out and keeps me going, keeps me exercising. And I love to just, you know, traverse behind them and really watch how they scent birds, how they react on birds. They're just a joy to watch, and it keeps going.
You know, it's so funny. I can't agree more. When I get to talk in front of a group, or here I am talking in front of a group, I try to remind people that they'll learn a whole lot if they just pay closer attention to their dog. Watch that dog, and the dog will help you become a better dog handler as well. Did that just come to you one day overnight, or has this been something you've learned over the years?
It's been over the years. I've been running dogs since I was in my 20s, and now I'm in my 60s. So been around it a while, and right now I've got two wire hairs, and I've got one short hair, and I'm in the process of bringing in a new Brittany. Gonna go pick it up in a couple of weeks, hopefully, if we can get out and move around with all the antics going on in the country from the virus. I've enjoyed hunting behind a couple of Brittany's, but I've always had versatile, so I'm gonna try one to see how this little guy works.
Well, you know, there's nothing like variety to keep a guy young either. You know, two wire hairs and a short hair should keep you on your toes no matter what. Did you fall into the Brittany thing just because of that, or did you have was your goal to find a Brittany?
Well, I had a friend of mine that I hunted with, and then he was transferred through his work up to South Dakota, and before he left, he found two Brittany's, and he called me one day and he goes, "Hey, I've got these two Brittany's," and he said they're great little dogs, the bloodline's good. So he talked me into buying one. Well, unbeknownst to him, his little one ended up passing away. So I said, "Hey, you can take this other Brittany, take him back, since you've got a female. If they work out, call me." Well, they did, and both great quail hunters, absolutely fantastic pheasant hunters, and so, you know, push come to shove, here we go. We're going to go to South Dakota and pick up a brand new liver and white puppy.
Well, good luck on that, and good luck on finding somebody to finance your feed bill with four of them in the house.
Well, I do this too, because I also guide quail hunts for a bank and a closing company down here in the South Texas area where I'm at. So they keep me going from February into March, 1st of April. So it gives me plenty of play money.
I love it. Well, good luck on the new dog, and thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation podcast, Mark.
You bet.
Yeah, and so the Upland Nation podcast, I'm Scott Linden, your host, on the other end of the line. Joe, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you for having me, and I'm doing pretty good.
What kind of dog are you running?
Right now, the one that's ready is a black lab, and we have a Beisla pointer that we bought in mid-February.
Young puppy?
Yes, she's very young.
Okay.
She's 18, 19 weeks now.
Whoa, wow. Well, good luck on that. How's it going so far?
It's a little hit and miss. The only thing that she really likes to do right now is she'll lock up and point on the cat.
Well, if this is your first pointer, then I feel obligated to remind you that, number one, even that's pretty darn cool, but it's still really early in a pointer's career. I wouldn't expect a whole heck of a lot of that kind of behavior around birds for a while.
Right. That's what I kind of figured.
Yeah. So talk to every pointer owner you know, and get involved in NAVDA or something like that, and acquire a perspective about all that sort of stuff. And that reminds me that I will, if I haven't done it yet, I'll put up on the website. I wrote a piece for Outdoor Life magazine a couple of years ago on a puppy's first year or so. And while there's no such thing as a textbook, a bunch of milestones, it might help you adjust your expectations a little bit. So I'll make that promise to you.
Okay.
So check that out at, findbirdhuntingspots.com. I'll put that up in the next couple of days. In the meanwhile, though, you got the Labrador, and you called him ready, or her ready. I don't remember. What do you admire most about your dog that's ready at this point?
Just her loyalty. From the time I get up in the morning, get ready for work, up until I come home and go to bed, she's literally right there by my side. You know, all I have to do is either pull out her e-collar or take her training bird out or her command lead, and she's right there. She's sitting, tail's wagging, and she's ready to go. I don't have to coax her into doing anything. I mean, she's literally ready. I mean, if she had her way, she'd be outside retrieving her training dummy for 10, 12 hours a day.
It might wear her out, or at least her teeth, but I love the, I don't know what to call it, you know, what would you call it?
I think I got lucky.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Now, I'm just curious. So let's take that dog, set that dog aside for a moment. And at this point in time, with a 19-week-old Vizsla, can you see anything in that dog that might create a glimmer of hope that there's some admiration developing there for that puppy?
There is. The Vizsla is more or less my wife's dog.
Mm-hmm.
She fell in love with it last August. And so I talked with the breeder for many, many months, and he just happened to be down at Pheasant Fest in Minneapolis back in February. And my stepson was holding her in the way that she was just kind of laid back, not really squirming or doing anything, you know, people coming and going, other dogs walking around. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, she would compliment Opame, my lab, very, very well. And I told my stepson, I said, give the dog back. I looked at the guy, I said, we'll be back. So we walked around the corner, got a hold of my wife. I said, well, what do you think? Well, if you bring her home, make sure you buy a kennel. So we go back. He goes, well, I go, let's put down a deposit.
Yeah.
So we put the deposit down. He goes, well, when are you thinking you want to pick her up? I said, give me a week so we can get ready, get things in order and in place, got the kennel, everything all set up. And so the following Saturday, we met him halfway down in Minneapolis and brought her home.
I met that dog. I was at Pheasant Fest, and I was just kind of catty corner and down the aisle from that breeder, and I think you made a good choice. Well, congratulations, yep. And early enough on that I can still say good luck on that puppy as well. You know, that it's funny how maybe it happens. At our house, it's happened as well. One dog becomes the spouse's dog, and one dog becomes my dog. But you're still going to be able to hunt with that Vizsla, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the sole purpose of what we got her for.
Great.
Is, you know, a pointer. I've never had one. She's never had one. And this is my wife's first experience having an actual hunting dog when we got the Black Lab.
Sure, I get it. And good luck to you on that. Sounds like a great pair. How are they getting along as two dogs?
You know, very, very well. The lab, Opa May, she puts little Harley in check quite often. You know, when they're playing and Opa May's had enough, she'll let her know, or she'll just kind of walk off, you know, crawl in her kennel or come upstairs and hide.
Smart dog.
Yep.
Good. Well, good luck on both. It sounds like you're off to a great start with the young one, and the older one is probably helping that dog learn some manners as well.
Yeah.
Joe, great to talk with you on the Upland Nation podcast. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
And Bobby Westbrook says, my dogs will lay there on the floor while I work, or they'll run around and fight each other. They go into the field and point birds and retrieve ducks. They're part of the family, both at home and in the field. I think we could all agree with the last sentence. Love these dogs. Absolutely. Good on you, Bobby, and good luck. All right, let's take a quick break. We got several more callers and a few other things to talk about, including a place to go or some advice on how to get there, actually, now that I look down the list here. But first, a couple words of advice, one from Gunner Kennels, our newest sponsor. Gunner.com is where you learn more about their patented exclusive door features. Now, I put mine together and finally got it into the truck last weekend, and while you put your kennel together, and that's just the large ones you got to do that with, you'll realize that the door is, it's pretty much bulletproof. Not only can a dog not chew through it, can't really get out and escape because there are three different ways to lock it or latch it. You can use a key. You got two other tricky ways to do it. So your dog is safe and contained even if the worst things happen to that crate when your dog is in it. If you want to learn more about Gunner Kennels and all the great features, go to Gunner.com and tell them I sent you. Speaking of tell them I sent you, go to Dogtra.com and use the code SLUN10 on any purchase over $200 and you'll get a 10% discount. Free shipping on anything over $200 as well. I particularly am enamored with their TNB dual collar system. TNB stands for tone and beep. You get both of those depending on what you want. The best part about these TNB duals is there are dual sets of buttons, one for collar A and one for collar B. I think they're green and red. So I'm told, I'm colorblind. And so you just press the right set of buttons. You don't have to toggle back and forth depending on which collar you want to receive the signal. And the receiver of the TNB dual is pretty cool. There is no horn on the top for the beeper, if you will. It's all one piece. It hangs down below the dog's neck. So there's no beeper up there right by their ears to, you know, cause problems with their hearing. It also is less bulky and enhances the durability of the whole collar system. So learn more and get your discount. Use the code SLUN10 at Dogtra.com. Hey, this land is your land and my land, and from the rest of that drill, but it's brought to you by findbirdhuntingspots.com. That's my new website, and that's where you will actually get places to go. I'll tell you where to go. You bet I will. And right now I'm going to tell you one of the things I learned while going to many of those places. You know, I finally put some pins on the map, as it were, and realized I've hunted in 26 states over the last 30 years. I learned a little bit here and a little bit there, made some great friends and saw some incredible places. And one of the bits of advice that has served me well when it comes to hunting wild birds on public access land, whether it's walk-in, publicly owned, or anything else in between, is take your map, whether it's electronic or the hard copy that so many states will issue with all those access points on it. Find bunches of access areas. Head for them. Head for the furthest one first. If there's somebody there, you can move to the next one pretty easily. If there doesn't pan out there, you can move to the next one more easily. Have a menu of places to go and do it in some kind of a logical order, and you will be well served by all of those public access spots. Just be efficient about it. All right, let's get back to the phones. Okay, so we're talking about what we admire most about our dog or dogs. It seems like a lot of people with multiple dogs in their house these days. I'm kind of jealous. Michael, welcome to the program. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
I can't complain one darn bit, but I'd be boasting about my young dog if I did. So what kind of dog you running these days?
A poodle pointer.
Yes. Okay, then. And just out of curiosity, where'd you get that dog?
I actually got him from a small breeder out of Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, Minneapolis.
I believe I've heard other people talk about that breeder. Well, good luck. How young or old is your dog?
He's 2 years old.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you're having problems with, I can relate.
Yeah, just endless energy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And that's probably the most important aspect of it, is trying to drain some of that. Is that what you admire most, or is there something even more redeeming to your poodle pointer than endless energy?
What I love about him is he does pretty much everything. I do a lot of waterfowl hunting and upland hunting, so he pretty much fits the bill.
Sure, I understand that. And if I had known that when I'd got my first wire hair, I might have appreciated him a little bit sooner. Did you seek out a versatile dog?
You know, I've had Chesapeakes over the years. I do a lot of duck hunting. I married into that. And I do a lot of upland hunting also with an older gentleman that's a friend of mine. And he's got setters, so I just have a lot of love for that. And I was like, God, I got to get a setter or something. So I got I started looking, and I was looking at the German wire hair, the German short hair, and I came across these poodle pointers, and I go, ooh, that sounds perfect. So I kind of landed on one of those. And to tell you the truth, I love all hunting dogs.
It's hard to play favorites, especially if you had different breeds. It's you're probably comparing the two quite often, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, the upland dogs I hunt with are mostly, they were the setters and English pointers, and then the waterfowl dogs. It's hard to, for me, after having those Chessies forever, it's hard to beat those for me. But I tell you what, that poodle pointer, he's really making a huge, huge impression about, he wows me. He's really filling his shoes, where I'm like, wow, I can't believe that he's doing what my Chessie's doing. So.
Well, that's great, and glad to hear it. So we'll chalk one up into the energy column for you. And I think I'll put my own vote in for that one as well. So, I'm glad it's working out for you. In another couple, 3 years, that dog will actually be smart again, too. So good luck on that.
Yeah. Does yours require as much exercise as?
Yeah.
It's a lot more high powered than your average lab or,
yeah, you know,
or retriever.
Here's some advice for any of the versatile wire haired breeds. You know how much exercise is enough?
How much?
Four more miles.
Oh, I've ran mine 5 miles a day, and he still wants to go more and more. It just blows my mind. So
that's why we do it, though. You know, like they say, if your dog's fat, you're not getting enough exercise. I doubt that's a problem for either one of you.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for being part of the Upland Nation podcast.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. Just a reminder, I'm Scott Linden, your host, and we're talking about what we admire most about our dogs in this extended version of our Upland Nation podcast. Bob is on the line from somewhere up north of me. That's as close as I'll guess. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And so what is it you love most, if you can narrow it down to one thing, about your dog?
About most is hunting. I like their intensity and why we're out hunting. So that's what I probably like about most out of my dogs.
So how can you tell they're intense? I mean, is it something? Is it their attitude? Is it that steely gaze? Or how can you know? How do you know they're so intense?
You know, like right now, I've got 5 or 6 dogs laying around me. They're all sound asleep, but maybe an hour ago we were down running with the quad in the woods, and you know, you can see it in their face, their eyes, their tail. You know, when they start yapping when they get on a bird, you know, you're on something. Other than that, you know, they just come back and they're all asleep right at the moment.
Yeah, they got an on-off switch, don't they?
They sure do.
You know, it's funny. I'll see a, and mainly with short hairs, I'll see this. I'll see a dog staring at the camera. And that you wonder what that dog is thinking, but it's almost like they're wondering what we're thinking when they're looking at us. There's a spark somewhere in there, I think, that really kind of, like you said, makes you understand that intensity a little bit.
Right.
That's a big bunch of dogs there. Are they all the same breed, or tell us more?
They're all French Brittany's.
Oh, my.
Avenue McCullen. Got them from, right now, we've got them from 4 months to 9 years. So I've got 3 females, and they seem to be starting to cycle together this cycle. So it's been quite lively with.
That's why I get males. Oh, my.
So yeah, they keep me hopping.
Are you active in the breed club?
You know, I have been off and on.
We probably have some mutual friends then. That's
great. Yeah, we do. I've seen you with Clint and Jackie. So, but yeah, it's, I never thought I'd have, you know, 5 or 6 dogs, but here I am. I never thought I would breed dogs, but here I am too. So,
for those of us who are barely allowed to have one hunting dog, What kind of advice would you offer to us? And I don't mean so that we can fool our spouse into letting us have 2 or 4 or 6, but I mean, you know, multiple dogs in a household, what is the biggest challenge besides the one we just alluded to, the potential breeding aspect? What else do we need to know about having multiple dogs?
Well, you know, with our breed in particular, they're small, you know, so, you know, And as far as hunting, you know, having 3 or 4 or 5 dogs is, you know, they get rested more. You know, they're able to come in the house. Yeah, they're lively at times, but most of the time they just want to hang out with you. So, you know, my wife, before she met me, never even had a dog. So, this, you know, I never thought she would let me have this many dogs. She's all game for it now.
Funny how whenever we talk about multiple dogs in a house, we always talk about how our wife might allow it. You know, as if we have to beg or plead, but we do, don't we?
Well, it's every new dog. It's like, are we crazy or what? And it's like, well, you know, a 9-year-old dog is good for a 1 morning hunt, you know, and then has to rest, you know, a good deal of time. So I kind of worry about just not having good hunting dogs. And, you know, like the 4-month-old one I have here right now, he came out on my litter in December, and, you know, I'm not really trying to sell him. I need to sell him, but he's so fun. He's, you know, cause I'm cooped up here at home right now. And luckily I've got 10 acres behind me. That's mine. And then we were building a house in Eastern Washington and got shut down over there. So he's kind of entertaining us all right at the moment. So
okay, hold that thought. I'm going to write that. That'll be a topic for another podcast. How our dogs are helping us maintain sanity during this house arrest.
You know,
I guess that's what they're always doing. You know, now that I think about it, and we are looking forward to the season, as I would imagine you are as well.
Yes.
And for your first hunt of the season, where are you going? Not exactly where you're going, but
yeah, I'll be over in Central Basin of Washington.
Nice.
The house that we're building sets up above the potholes. We have a nice view of all the potholes area, and I don't know yet where exactly. It all depends what the crops look like, and you know what I see over there. You know,
sure. It's great country. I don't spend near enough time over there.
Yeah, that's why I'm moving over there. I'm tired of driving for 3 hours and thought, you know what?
let's just move there.
There you go. Well, good luck on that. And good luck with all those dogs. I keep saying it because we've had a passel of multiple dog owners on the podcast today. I'm glad I don't have your feed bill.
Yeah. Well, it's, trust me, they, you know, if you have a litter of puppies and they get the best feed and the best veterinarian care I can give them. And it's part of having that many dogs, you know, I mean, I put the money that we do make off the dogs, I try to put back in it, you know, buying property here and there for them and taking them hunting.
Good for you. Spectacular. I'm glad to hear it. And hope you have a great season. Thanks for being part of the Upland Nation podcast, Bob.
Not a problem. I hope your wife lets you get that second dog soon. Huh?
Every 7 years, whether she likes it or not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
And Steve Mouse writes at the Facebook page, my dog, what I admire most about my dog, he makes me look like a pro trainer. Well, yeah, I won't have to ever worry about that part of it, but good for you, Steve, and hope it continues. Mark Kimbrough says, my wire-haired pointers keep me young in body and mind. They are always wanting one more bird. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Good on you both there, and appreciate all your comments. Everybody else who commented as well, great stuff. All right, so we're back to the phones. We have time for one more caller. Thank you for sticking with us, everybody, and including Seth. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure.
And tell me, what do you admire most about your dog?
Personally, for me, it's the bond that him and I have acquired over the last 2.5 years or so. A lot of the times I get up in the morning, he gets up, eats his breakfast, and then, I have a big overstuffed recliner. And he likes to lay up next to me and watch TV and lay on his blanket, go back to bed.
So, smart dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he's learned numerous different terms now, and I can look at him as I'm getting up to go get a refill on my coffee. I look at him and show him my coffee cup, and I say, Hank, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. And he sits there and kind of grunts at me and makes weird noises. And then other times I don't pick him and he knows I'm going to do something. Typically I'm using the restroom, but he thinks that there's some sort of secret portal that'll get me out of the house and into my truck without him knowing. And so he gets up and moseys on into the bathroom and lays down, make sure that I'm not going anywhere without him.
He's a wire hair, right?
Absolutely, he's a wire hair.
Yeah, they have that kind of tentacle, mental tentacle. Yeah, I just made that up. I'm a writer. they're a little bit clingy at times. My wife continues to remind me of that. But that's a good thing, right?
I understand that completely. He's a little too smart for his own good. He likes to unlock doors and go outside by himself without telling us. So.
Oh boy. Oh, good luck on that. We all talk about this bond, but how do we know there's a bond there? What is the evidence? Can you show me something that proves that?
Well, the day that we went to pick him up, we got in the truck and we're about 580, 600 miles away from, Nampa, Idaho, where I picked him up at Jeff and Heidi's. And my wife, the whole time, whole drive over, oh, he's going to be a mama's boy. He's going to be a mama's boy. And I was beginning to believe her. We pull in that day, and we're both sitting there. Jeff goes and gets him out of the puppy house, turns him loose, and he comes running across the gravel yard, floppy ears, just looking goofy. And I crouch down, she crouches down right next to me. He runs right up, looks right at her, and barrels right into my arms.
Uh-oh. kind of a quiet 550-mile drive home, wasn't it?
Luckily, I had a buddy with me that drove. We deadheaded back home. So it was about 1,200-mile round trip in a day.
Oh.
And Hank slept with me. Hank slept with me in the front seat for a couple of hours, and then I crashed. And next thing you know, I wake up, and he's in the back seat cuddling his mom. But some days he doesn't want nothing to do with me, but for the most part, he's all my dog for sure.
I love it.
He knows when I'm feeling sad. He'll come up and he'll nuzzle right up next to me, curl up in a little ball, and lay his head on my lap, and everything kind of just goes away at that point. You know, they melt your heart.
Yeah, they're the cheapest therapy we'll ever buy, aren't they?
Absolutely, they are. I'm blessed that I found such good breeders in Jeff and Heidi. I mean, I know you. And heard the stories of you getting your pups from them, and they're just amazing people. I can't wait to get our second one. Hopefully the second one's a little more attached to my wife.
Oh, no matter what, they'll be good dogs. Absolutely. We could talk all night about that topic. I'm glad you've had such a great experience. I'm not surprised, not one bit. And Jeff and Heidi, if you're listening, when do we get our commission checks? Seth, it's great to talk with you. Love to hear about wire hair puppies. I probably ought to go look for a couple and just get a fix. Thanks for being on the Upland Nation podcast.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
And we're out of time. One quick reminder, electronic shooters protection. ESPAmerica.com is where you can learn more about all those things that I rail on you about, because it's important to protect your ears. I'll give you a story someday about how I learned that lesson, luckily not the hard way. ESPAmerica.com. And on that note, or those notes, or all those notes and chords, and that rhythm section in the background, it's time to say goodbye. I want to thank you all for sticking with us. All you callers, great. Thank you so much. You know, we could talk dogs all night, but I doubt if everybody else would listen. But maybe you would. Hey, if you like the show, tell your friends. Please rate or review it. That's how we get boosted up and other people can find out about us. I appreciate that. Talk with me at the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page or the Upland Nation Facebook page. Hope you'll check out the new website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. Lots of good stuff in there, from specific places to go to advice on taking care of your dogs, shooting straighter, and becoming a better person in general. It's all right there at findbirdhuntingspots.com. Yeah, we are holed up, hunkered down, but soon enough we'll be out running free. I'll unclip the leash, and we will have a great hunting season. Keep the faith, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Linden.